Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, guys, I guess what we learned from last week is, until further notice, every week's going to be sort of its own unique adventure with the Patriots.
Which is what you want, right?
Well, it depends. I mean, are you looking to understand who this team is? And I think right now, even though we're at the midpoint of the season, I think we're still trying to figure that out.
It's perspective, right? I mean, for us, like, we watch the games, we analyze them. This gives us stuff to chew on. It's good.
Blowouts,
you know,
are boring.
They are, but the fan in me?
Fred likes blowouts.
The fan in me?
When it's the Patriots, I do.
Right, I'll take the blowouts. I'm
right,
with you, Freddie.
Right.
But, you know, if we're going to talk about them and we're going to, you know, we have our radio shows, you and I do the pre- and post-game shows, it's definitely more interesting to talk about different elements and having the game sort of swing on a play here or there, as opposed to it was, you know, 34 to nothing at the half.
Yeah, well, going into the game, one thing that I did predict, and I think a lot of people did, that was correct, is who the Chargers were. An offense that wasn't that good, a defense that can give you trouble, and I think that's exactly what we saw in that game. Patriots, I think, to the most extent, handled that pass rush pretty well. I mean, Brady was sacked 3 times, but definitely, whether or not the rush was there, it was in his head. And I think it was affecting Brady, and I think it was affecting the play calling as well. The plays that were called were with that pass rush in mind.
Yeah, they were trying to get rid of the ball quickly, dumping it off to the backs. The backs combined for 150 yards, I think 15 completions to them. And that's become a trend in recent weeks. James White leads the team in receptions. The last 2 weeks with Burkhead back, he's had double-digit total receptions. That's becoming, you know, it was, the story was they were a downfield offense. Now they're either downfield or dump it off to the back.
Yeah, we talk about what we thought of the Chargers coming in. That's the thing that I think we got the most right, is we listened to the way Bill Belichick talked about it. We listened to the way Tom Brady talked about it, and we said the backs are going to be heavily involved in the passing game this week because they want to get rid of the ball. That's what happened. I thought White in particular, I thought Burkhead chipped in too, but I thought White did a really good job of making a guy miss when he needed to. They made some plays, but what I worry about with this approach, and Andy's right, it hasn't just been 1 week with the backs, is, you know, does it get tougher to score? You know, in the red zone, we're going to talk about red zone struggles, I'm sure, because that's been a huge issue. Does it get tougher down there to just dump it off to a back and see if he can make guys miss when there is no space?
Yes.
You know, it's one thing to say he can make a guy miss in space. Well, on the 5-yard line, there is no space.
Right. Right. They have to get open. Can guys get open in
and
the
then
red zone?
Beat tacklers.
Well, they like, can get open, thing, but can they beat?
If
yeah,
the Chargers weren't covering the backs, the Chargers were dropping the linebackers. So James White's catching the ball and he's running 8-10 yards before there's anyone there to even have to make miss. And when you're in the red zone, it's just inherently there's a
right,
smaller field. They're not going to drop as far. They're closer to make the tackles. Now that's one. I think this is an interesting point, not just for our TV show, but for the team. Like the mid. Year by the analysis,
the self-scouting.
What are you
yeah,
good at? What are you not good at? What is a 2-week trend? What's an 8-week trend? And I think those are some of the thing they've talked about most. Gronk, Brady, Belichick is points, red zone, and scoring points. And that's not a surprise. You attempt 6 field goals in a game, the first thing an offense is going to say, we can't make him kick 6 field goals.
We left too
game.
Many points on the field,
right.
And I think that's been, like, to Andy's point, I don't think it's been an 8-week problem, but it's been maybe a 2 or 3 week problem where, you know, the points have been down, and one of the reasons is not necessarily that the offense is stagnant. I mean, they had over 400 yards against the Chargers. I thought they moved the ball at will. They couldn't finish the drives. And,
yeah,
you know, I think they're probably looking at those things now. You know, Bill and Josh are probably trying to figure out, what can we do differently? What kind of schemes? What kind of different packages? I know Chad O'Shea is involved in a lot of those red zone packages as well. So I would guess that this 2-week period, a lot of that is going to be analyzed.
Is it just a matter of playing better?
Yes. It's always execution.
Yeah.
I know we get mad as media members when the players say,
you just got to play
execution.
Better.
Red zone, execution. Get open and catch the ball. Make the right read if you're Brady. Offensive line, block somebody. Because I thought it was also very interesting that Dante Scarnecchia criticized the run blocking very early in the year, that was really bad. So he's looking for more from his troops. That's the first takeaway.
Oh, and by the way, other than self-scouting, there was a trade.
Yeah, I don't care for the tone you're using to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. He's a future franchise quarterback in the NFL, right?
No, but in all seriousness, big news.
Yes.
I think a lot of people were shocked.
Yep.
Second round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo to the 49ers. I was surprised.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
I think we all were.
Timing and compensation don't make a lot of sense, so I think a lot of people, including myself, had you traded him in the spring, I would have seen why. I think you get more for a guy in the offseason inherently, any sport.
Well, we've been saying it, you know, on our radio show since the spring that his value will never be higher in terms of trade.
And we saw that. You didn't get a first-round pick. There were a lot of reports, obviously, out of Cleveland during the spring that you could have gotten the 12th overall pick or a first-round pick for him. You only get a two, and people are sort of left wanting more.
Yeah, and there's a lot of complexity to this situation. As Bill Belichick said, I was curious that he used that adjective to describe the situation, what that complexity, what those layers are. You know, someday we'll find out when people are retired. But, you know, were the Krafts involved? Were they not involved? You know, what did they actually think of Jimmy Garoppolo and his future? You know, why didn't they hold on to him and maybe apply the tag next year or not? You know, there's so many elements to this that we probably won't know in the near future. But for right now, we know it's Tom Brady or bust.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that it was probably that anyway. But now I think you've sort of eliminated, with Brian Hoyer now the backup, I think that you're not in as good a position as you were with Garoppolo in terms of being able to get by, you know, for any length of time. I think Hoyer is a solid backup that can step in and maybe win a game, but I don't think you're going through the playoffs with him. Now, I don't think there was nothing to lead us to believe that Garoppolo was capable of going through the playoffs either.
No, many people thought
he's never
he could.
Played. He's yeah, never played. No, many people think he can.
Right. There's no evidence.
Right. We haven't seen him play either. We've seen Hoyer, and we don't think he can.
Right.
But based on what we've seen. Well, you know, we'll wish Jimmy well in San Francisco. Well, Andy and I will. I don't know what you'll
I wish him well.
He doesn't even remember his name anymore, practically. He almost forgot to talk about it in this meeting.
Yeah. I wish him well. I hope he loses every game 40-39.
Bad guy.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? And also brought to you in part by Fisher Plows. The legacy rolls on. Visit FisherPlows.com.
This week's From the Heart, we're going to look at the lack of trade acquisitions at the deadline. Jimmy Garoppolo is gone. That was the big move. But many expected the deadline would involve a pass rusher or an edge player coming to the defense. That never happened. That means this unit on the edge needs to improve over the second half of the season, because I believe the lack of a pass rush is the biggest issue this team faces down the stretch and into January. Only 16 sacks through 8 games. That's not enough. Rob Ninkovich isn't walking through that door. Lawrence Taylor isn't walking through that door. It's on Trey Flowers, Cassius Marsh, Dietrich Wise. Those guys need to be better and have more of an impact. The secondary has improved. Now it's time for the pass rush.
The Patriots have already been dealing with some injuries at the receiver position. They're already without Julian Edelman, Malcolm Mitchell. Looks like they could be without another guy in Chris Hogan. And if so, that's a pretty big loss. He's been a big part of the offense over the first half of the year. 33 catches, 5 touchdowns. He's been a guy that Tom Brady has developed a lot of trust in. And I think the offense will miss him without his presence. I think he has the ability to get downfield and also the intermediate routes that I think have been lacking a little bit, especially when Danny Amendola hasn't been on the field on a consistent basis. One guy to keep an eye on, though, Philip Dorsett. Maybe he can get in the offense. Maybe he can start making some more plays. He's been very quiet in the first half. But either way, if the Patriots are without Hogan, they'll miss his presence.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Trash Talk this week, we're going to mix it up. No game, so no fight between Paul and Andy. But we're going to hash out this Jimmy Garoppolo trade, because I think we both agree Patriots may have mismanaged this situation.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's one of these big fireable offenses or anything like that.
I don't think it is.
But I think back in the spring, I think that was the time to make this trade if you wanted to get rid of him. If you wanted to hold on to him, then that's fine. But to me, they kind of went in between. I would have dealt him in the spring. I think the return was potentially much larger back then. I think some of the reports about Cleveland in particular, you could have gotten a first-round pick, maybe more. I don't know if maybe two ones might be too much, but certainly a first, maybe in a second. the spring was the time to get this guy traded.
Two reasons I think it's pretty clear they didn't get as much as they could have for Garoppolo. One, you always get more in the offseason. Any sport. That's just the reality. More teams are involved. They're in the roster building phase. They're not in the middle of the season where they might be hampered by some limitations. Number two, most importantly, John Lynch said it took the San Francisco 49ers less than 10 minutes to accept this trade. So they felt they were getting a steal, right?
Right.
And for someone to get a steal, somebody got robbed.
Yeah, and I don't know if we have to put it in such, you know, blanket terms like that. No, but I mean, I don't think the Patriots got robbed in this situation, but I definitely feel they could have gotten more had they done it back then. Now you're having a guy that you're only acquiring for half a season if you're San Francisco and you don't have any guarantees you're going to be able to re-sign him. But if you've got him in your system for the whole offseason, you're willing to pay more. It just stands to reason. It's common sense. So I think that was the time to deal him. And now maybe you held on to him because you wanted that insurance, but now you only had the insurance for half a year. What about the most important half of the year that's still to come? So that's why I think that they maybe they missed their window of opportunity. That was back before the draft.
Yeah, certainly it was interesting that Lynch, and I go back to his comments because his were sort of the most telling. Even though he said he agreed to not share details with the media.
He shared a few.
He shared a few, and he said in the spring it never came to terms because they were sort of shot down immediately. They didn't even have the chance to present a package what they would give up for Jimmy Garoppolo.
All right, so I think we agree on all of this. Let's see if we can come up with something that maybe we don't agree on. What do you think Garoppolo is down the road? How good do you think he is?
I think his ceiling, a lot of ceiling and floor talk I saw in the analysis of this trade, sort of like a college prospect.
Right.
I do agree he has a pretty high floor. I think he's an NFL starter.
Yeah,
I think
he's
a top 32.
This is not good. I think we agree.
Do you get into top 20, 15, 10, 5 would be the next question, right? Not top 5. I've eliminated that from the other end. I think his upside is a top 10 NFL quarterback, a guy that can lead a team with talent consistently to the playoffs. You know, for example, Phillip Rivers. He's never won anything. He's put up a lot of yards. He's a very good NFL quarterback. He's not elite.
Right.
He's never been to a Super Bowl or won a Super Bowl. I think the upside is somebody with a career like that, where I don't know if they'll be a championship caliber, multiple rings guy, but top 10 quarterback.
But you can win games with him. I agree with you. I feel like I like a lot of the different things he brings. I like I like his athleticism, certainly his ability to move around, his quick release. I think he throws a good-looking football. We got to see him throw a lot of passes in practice over the years. And I also like off the field, I like the way he handles himself. To me, he carries himself like a franchise quarterback. So I think he has some of those intangibles. What you never know, Andy, is what he does when he's on the field under pressure. We didn't get to see nearly enough of it, not even a full game and a half as really the starter. So I think all that remains to be seen. But I think he definitely has some physical characteristics that should bode him well.
And most interesting, Patriots had three quarterbacks this summer, right, on the roster. All three could be starting in the National Football League within the next couple weeks.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner and New England's best ticket source for all Patriots games. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason?
Look out, Patriots. The Buffalo Bills thinks this is the year they break their 17-year-long run of not making the playoffs. Minutes before the trade deadline on Tuesday, the Bills brought in talented wide receiver Kelvin Benjamin from the Panthers for a third and seventh round draft pick. So far this season, Buffalo's top receiver in terms of catches has been running back LeSean McCoy. In yards, it's been tight end Charles Clay, and he's missed two games. Clearly they needed wide receiver help, and the 6'5" Benjamin fits that bill. Now the question is, can quarterback Tyrod Taylor take advantage? My guess is yes. The trade has put an entirely new complexion on the two upcoming games with the Patriots. They could very well determine the winner of the AFC East, and this time around, the Bills are thinking they have the pieces in place to take the throne.
Players Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Joining me now in the Patriots locker room, offensive lineman LaAdrian Waddle coming off your most playing time of the season. How do you think you fared out there last week?
I think I did a decent job. You know, definitely wasn't perfect, but, you know, I just wanted to be ready, you know, when my number was called. And, you know, I just went out and tried to do my job to the best of my abilities.
I know a lot of guys say that, they want to be ready when their number is called. Mm-hmm. But is it hard to maintain that week after week sometimes when you're inactive and you're not getting game reps? How do you stay focused?
I think just week to week you have to be, you know, dialed in. And, you know, around here, you know, guys are always, you know, competing and practice each week and trying to get better and trying to improve. And, you know, this week I got thrown out there and, you know the reps in practice and all that work I put in kind of paid off.
You obviously were in Detroit before this, but is that something they really preach here with Coach Scarnecchia, that next man up, that you could be in one play away and everybody could be a starter, that mentality of being a professional?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, honestly, that's the truth. I mean, you know, guys can go down out of nowhere and, you know, you can't just stop the game because a guy goes down. You have to throw somebody in there and, you know, hope to, you know, that guy goes in and, you know, it's a seamless transition and, you know, things keep rolling as they should be.
Not that I'm going to ask you to be the spokesman for the offensive line, because I know that's not part of your job necessarily, right. But as a unit, you know, Coach Scarnecchia talked about it today, that you guys need to protect the quarterback more. You've given up a lot of sacks early in the year. He felt like it's trending in the right direction, but is that an obvious focus heading into the second half of the season?
I think just, you know, improving in general is our focus. You know, as far as the pass protection, you know, we want to keep Tom as clean as possible. You know, give him time to go out there and make some plays. And, you know, we got guys who can make some plays. We just got to give Tom some time to get the ball out to him and, you know, let them work for him. So as much as we can keep Tom protected, is, you know, that's our goal.
Do you ever think about that it's not just the quarterback? Every offensive lineman wants to protect his quarterback, but that's the GOAT. That's Tom Brady back there, and you want to make sure he's not taking those hellacious hits. Does that ever sink in when a guy gets by you that, uh-oh, I could be the one?
I think for as far as being an offensive lineman, you never want a guy back there, you know, especially being Tom. But, you know, we take pride in, you know, protecting our guys, you know, whether it's the quarterback or the back or, you know, whatever the situation is, we just want to go out and, you know, execute.
So we are here in the bye week. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to LaAdrian Waddle? Is that feet up on the couch and no football at all, or what does that exactly mean?
Bye week for me, you know, I'm going to go home for a couple of days, kind of, you know, rest, try to get the little nicks and stuff taken care of and, you know, kind of get away for a little bit and kind of recharge the batteries. And, you know, when we get back and get rolling again, be ready to roll.
Anything in particular that means get away, a hobby or, I don't know, hunting, swimming, fishing?
I might hop in the pool. You know, I got a pool back at the crib, so I might do that for a little bit.
You got to cool off. I hear you're a sweater.
Man, I'll be working hard, man. I'll be putting in that work. That's what happened.
And finally, I heard you're a big Halloween guy. What'd you do over Halloween?
Absolutely nothing.
Did you eat any candy?
No candy.
Is that not allowed?
I'm not a big sweets guy.
How'd you get to be a big guy if you're not a big sweets guy?
Carnivore.
Lots
straight,
of meat.
Straight carnivore, man.
All right, you heard it from LaAdrian Waddle. Straight carnivore, that's how you get this big.
You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
All right, it's that time of the show that we answer the questions that you sent to AskPFW at Patriots.com. And as you can see, it's the bye week. We got our bye week attire on, except for Paul.
I wish I was informed. But once
you
again,
get the memo?
Left off the email chain. Thanks.
Okay, well,
all right.
Sorry about that. Next year. All right. We'll start with Mark Bushnell, who writes in, not sure how long Cook's contract is for, but I've been overall impressed with his overall play. What are the chances of him getting a long-term deal for the Patriots? And if his current deal has a second-year option, what are the chances of the Patriots picking it up?
Well, overall, I think overall he's done pretty much pretty well.
Overall.
What they've asked for overall?
They did pick up the option. I wouldn't be surprised if they sign him to an extension before that option ever even comes into play. I do think the Patriots have been happy with him. I think Bill Belichick has been asked many times what the sort of integration process has been like. How is he transitioning to the offense? And every time it's been glowing terms. I don't think that he has been off the charts great. I think he's been really solid. I think we've seen the speed. We've seen his ability to get downfield. We haven't seen as much of the consistency on you know, some of the shorter passes.
Yeah.
But I think that's coming. I think he's been a big part of the offense. I think he likes it here. I think they like him here, more importantly. And I think he'll be here long term.
Yeah, I think we saw a little bit of the catch and run type stuff we were hoping for, but not enough yet.
Well, downfield. Everything.
Downfield's
that
fine.
All his big plays
are
downfield. He hasn't really had any short catch and runs.
Yeah. So.
So that's what I think maybe it would be the next step, the progression for him.
Vincent writes in. Thanks for your amazing job. Oh, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
I want to know why the red zone offense is struggling so much this season. They lost Edelman. but they have 100% Gronkowski that they didn't have last year.
Yeah, I think that's one reason I think that they're struggling. I don't think they throw the ball to him enough in the red zone. I think that they always have a matchup advantage anytime he's on the field, especially down there. Even if they're going to double-team him, I think he's a guy that they can get the ball to. I also think early in the season, certainly opening night against Kansas City, I thought they looked like they wanted to run the ball down there, and they did so effectively with Gillislee getting three touchdowns. Now, I know he hasn't been great, but I'd like to see them maybe commit a little bit more to the run in those goal-to-go situations. That's where they're really lacking. It's the red zone has been sort of mediocre. In goal-to-go situations, they're really bad. So I think that's the spot that they have to improve on. Too many 25-yard field goals for Gostkowski. I think that they could run the ball, and then when in doubt, throw the ball to Gronk.
Thomas Walken writes in, when are the Patriots going to learn that having Gostkowski make that many short kickoffs ruins his timing when it comes to field goals?
Well, not anytime soon. And there was more to that email. I actually read it off air where he was saying he was fine earlier in the year. They asked him to kick short against the Chargers and it screwed up his field goals. No, he's been doing it for the bulk of the year, kicking it to the goal line, high into the goal line. He's been doing it for 2 years now, and I think he's kind of mastered it. I think it's been really impressive what he and the coverage units have done. Yeah. I think you're getting a lot
of nice weapon.
Hidden yardage, field position in that area. He missed a couple kicks. It's not ideal. It was a little bit of a windy night. He didn't make excuses, but Bill and Tom were both out early testing the wind, sort of the conditions.
Yep.
He missed a couple. He hasn't been dead on for a year and a half now, but the advantage of the field goal, of the kickoffs, I think is a good one for them. Although I will say Belichick this week said the most important job for the kicker is splitting the uprights, and the kickoffs are a distant second.
You don't have those kickoffs if you don't get through the uprights.
Very wise, Freddie.
That's right.
Sort of.
All right. Every week, send your questions to AskPFW@Patriots.com. We'll answer them here.